Now we both kinda like it. Now we both kinda know that if we're ever gonna make it, we just need to let go.
You're listening to the Crosscutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast on October 24th, 2016. My guest today is not an important person in the world, and he's okay with that. He's a former co-worker, and he's just this guy, you know? Jesse Riley, how are you?
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being on the show. Now, you wanted to talk to me about something I've never heard of before, and I think you may have come up with this idea, is the farmer effect. Can you define that for me?
I noticed that a while ago that at some point I was like, you know what? I just want to go be a farmer. I'm done with software. I'm done with coding. It became kind of a joke. And then when I started asking people about it, because a lot of the guys I work with were like, yeah, let's go do it. Let's just go buy a lot of land and let's just go farm fields. And then I started asking more people that I'd worked with throughout a while. And they started to say the same things. They're like, if software didn't exist, or if this ends tomorrow, I'm gonna go be an architect, or I'm gonna go swing a hammer, or I'm gonna do something very physical. And the more I talked to people about it, the more I was like, huh, that's not just me. So if it's not just me, maybe that's a thing. And I started to kind of explore that whole idea and concept.
Sometimes I feel this way as well. I think everyone does, not just software. Well, maybe it is unique to software, but I think sometimes I get burned out from like side projects, death marches, and maybe you can want to talk about like a lack of closure that we see in the software industry. We sort of eschew craftsmanship and pride in our work for budget or time constraints, things like that.
Right, and you have to always, you know, be mindful of the business. Like at some point you realize that your job as a developer isn't just, oh, I've got to write code. It's also, you know, I've got to write good enough code, I've got to maintain it well enough, and, you know, because you make sacrifices along the way, but you can't take, you know, 10 years to make this perfect orb of awesome because they got to keep the lights on. One of the guys I talked to had said that it kind of feels like that software is an endless spiral, whereas a project based in reality is finite and tangible, which I thought was pretty well put. Because he likes to build things with his hands and he's off time, you know, kind of an offset. I tend to agree with him. I'm like, I do the same thing. I work on cars and it's that man and machine type thing. It's more of a physical machine, not a software machine, but it's more of a, I can go over and touch it. And I think that has something to do with it.
I don't know if you remember John Dages.
Oh, yes.
one of our mutual former coworkers. And I remember he tweeted one day something very much like the farmer effect here, is that for some reason, a recruiter contacted him by email and wanted to recruit him to be a engineer. By engineer, I don't mean like software engineer. I mean like train engineer.
Nice.
And his response was, you know, some days, man, I think, why not?
I can remember not long ago, I was watching a guy with a humongous blowtorch of some kind. And he was like resealing some stone or something. I don't know what it was. It was like a tar that they put down and they hit it with fire to bake it in place or something. That looks like fun. I would totally do that for a day. Maybe two. Might be three, because, you know, at the end of the day, I'd be like, yeah, I got to use a blowtorch all day. That's kind of awesome. I guess this is worth mentioning, too. I noticed that, are you familiar with Mike Rowe? He's the guy from Dirty Jobs. He makes a very interesting comment, and I've actually tried to get a hold of him in a few ways, but, I mean, again, I'm nobody, so he's like, yeah, whatever. He says that those people that do that manual labor that isn't all that fun are the happiest people he's ever met. And that was another interesting point I had thought of as I'm writing down all my notes and everything else. Because one of the guys had said, like, he wants to show his children what he had done. He wants to be able to hand something to them and say, your daddy made this. He's been working in software for 18 years, and he can't do that. And he's worked at some big, big companies. Companies that everybody knows. He's like, none of that's going to exist, or I can't give that to them and say, this is what your dad made. And I think that's something that maybe we've missed as a community. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not saying this is 100% true. I'm saying that I've interviewed 10 people, and those 10 people, 9 of them have said, yes, I felt that in some way. you know, I want to be a farmer, I want to be a carpenter, I want to be a construction worker, I want to be very, very physical, very, very labor style jobs. I can't quite put my finger on why. It may have something to do with the bombardment of tech that we've seen recently. If you think back 10 years ago, you know, if a new framework came out that year, it was kind of a cool thing, but nobody used it. And now it's like 20 of them come out and like six of them get picked up. It's like, holy crap.
Kind of an overload.
Yeah, kind of. And it's like we're resisting our own success in some ways. Like the AI stuff. The AI stuff is super exciting. There's a lot of cool stuff that's coming out of that. But I haven't talked to a whole lot of software developers that are like, I can't wait to do that. They want to learn about it, but they're not like, I want that to be my life. I'm not sure if that's a symptom or a result. It's kind of this odd spot that I've found even myself in. I'm like, if they said, you know what, your job's over tomorrow, I'd swing a hammer for a while. Why not?
It's almost like the Office Space movie.
Kinda.
Where he does give up his job as software to become a construction worker. I think that's what you're describing here.
Yeah. Maybe it all goes back to that. Maybe they had something in there.
Yeah, very prescient.
I think, too, that the craftsmanship part of it is so sparse. One of the guys, and I wrote this down from me talking to him, this guy's been in software for 23 years, I think, been with the same company for 10. I asked him, I was like, so in your mind, is it a high level of ownership, or maybe it's a brotherhood or a camaraderie type thing that's missing from building something and you get this awesome thing towards the end? He's like, yeah, that pretty much sums it up. That's not there. And, you know, part of it gets built and then it's not that great, but there it is. And then it just gets molded into something else. And it's kind of a mess. And then we have to deal with it. And then we have to eat it. And then we have to work on it again. I mean, he's been working on one thing for 10 years. And even he's saying that. I don't know. It seems to be something there. Like I said, I want to interview a whole bunch more developers about it. But 6 to 8 years seems to be the magical threshold. And I don't know why that is. I have no reason behind that. I asked somebody that was like 3 years in and they're super excited about it still. I asked somebody that was 10 years in and they're like, this is horrible. So I started to hone in on that 6 to 8 years and something happens in there. And I'm not sure what. But somewhere between that age, that becomes a eh.
Do you think this is unique to software? Because, I mean, there are other jobs where there's not necessarily something physical, like an accountant or something like that. Even accountants do have like an end of the month, which gives them some sort of closure, right? You know, it's not like there's a new JavaScript framework or the equivalent of a JavaScript framework in accounting every year, every month. So do you think it's something unique to software going on here?
I'm not 100% sure. So far, the people that I've interviewed are all software developers in some way. And I use that word very loosely. I don't mean that they're not a tester. I don't mean that they're not, you know, a Java developer or a .NET developer, whatever, you know, insert technology stack developer. There just seems to be a resistance of sorts past a certain time frame in this particular field. That's not to say it's not everywhere. And I think that your point of there is a finite ending for like an accountant, for instance, for an audit or maybe something like that, that they can say, yes, I did real well on that. We passed it. We got it done. I think that does say something. But I wonder if it's more about the minds that are gravitated towards development. At some point, they need that tangible aspect. But I cannot say 100% confidence that that is true.
So if this is a problem, and I'm tending to agree with you that I think this is a real thing, a real effect, you know, don't have a lot of hard evidence yet, but we certainly have some anecdotal evidence, what can we do about it?
I think part of it has to be a jump between the software and the physical. A wild concept I had was, what if I could take a leap motion, which is like this hand gesturing device, and I've used it before to take a 2D website and make it into 3D, so you're manipulating it with your hands. It's an agile thing, so you would open stories, close stories, you would change estimates and those sort of things. And I found that being able to use my hands, even though like all the stuff on the screen was software and like I couldn't touch that, but using my hands outside of the keyboard was kind of a gratifying thing. The visual effect I got from in the audience what I was like, hey, look, I made this thing. And everyone's like, what? How did you even do that? Like, just the surprise and the wonder for it. I was like, yeah, it was kind of cool. That was sort of a neat thing. And I think that might need to happen more often. Like, we may need to go to, like, the Minority Report style user interfaces and stuff, because, you know, virtual reality's coming. And I think maybe that can help that gap. But I don't know how you make work any more interesting with virtual reality, to be honest. That would be cool, especially if you're an IT guy. Like, I think it'd be awesome if you could, like, have Docker containers, and, like, that would be your thing. Like, you put on your virtual reality and you just, like, move your containers around. I think that would be kind of cool.
So, yeah, kind of like the Unix interface in Jurassic Park.
Yes!
It's completely impractical.
Right.
But what you're saying is that it may give some sort of closure or craftsmanship and pride to the actual user, and there'll be a long-term benefit to it.
But possibly. I think that would be a good step, because as technology continues to roll, like, it's not stopping. It's going to continue to accelerate. We're going to get more and more people involved in it. And if we're feeling this now, how bad is it going to be in 5 years, in 10? Is that going to get accelerated? Is that going to be shorter? I don't know. But part of it is just sort of like a, that could be an issue. As a nerd who is nobody, I kind of feel an obligation to be like, you know, guys, we got to be aware of this. Like, this is all uncharted territory. I may be completely wrong, and it may be something completely different that's causing it. And I'm okay with that. As long as we figure out what the problem is and we can address it, great. Awesome. Because I know I feel it. I feel it.
Yeah.
Heck, I felt it today. You know, I was like, man, I don't want to reinstall all this stupid... Come on, really? Do I have to do that today? Is this my day? Is this how it's going to be? Thank you, Monday. You know?
Yeah. I will say, in the last couple of years, there was a really hard period in my life where I was like a day away from quitting my job as a programmer and going to work at a gas station or something. It sounds funny, but I'm actually...
No,
it's actually the truth.
Yeah.
I was just... You know, the guy at the gas station, he's not well paid, and it's probably not a great job. But I feel like once I leave that gas station, I'm done. Whereas when I'm coding, it's something that you do in your mind even after you're away from the computer.
Oh, absolutely.
It just sort of haunts you, and your failures are there. You leave your desk, but your failures are still in your mind, right? And you got to come back the next day and fix them. But in the meantime, you're still thinking about them. They're still running through your head.
Yeah, and then you feel even worse when you go in and you make those fixes, and those fixes were even worse than what you started with. you ever done that? No, undo.
One thing you brought up was we need to have something tangible, maybe to bridge that gap. So you mentioned Leap Motion. I recently switched to a job where I'm a developer advocate, and I think that, you know, what you're talking about may have something to do with it, because as a developer advocate, I have something semi-tangible I can show to my kids and my family. And let me just tell you right now, they don't really care. They don't want to watch my videos, read my blog posts, my writing, things like that. But I do have something I can show them. 20 years from now, I could say, look, here's what I was doing 20 years ago, and just show them a video on YouTube or something. So it's not tangible, it's semi-tangible. And a second thing, I don't know if you've been following my blogging, but I've created this thing called the Couchbase Couch Case, which is several tiny computers inside of a briefcase that I can take with me. Something very tangible. Again, this goes to your theory. It's something you can touch and interact with. And so I think there is some validity to that.
If you ever think, oh, no, this software is always cool, look at how cool this is, I always challenge people, show it to a kid. Kids don't have that inhibition of all the rules and everything else. They only care about one or two things, right? Is it cool, and can I play with it? If you show something to a kid that's, you know, something like, oh, wow, like whatever, and they kind of go for it, that also applies to adults. If you could show something to somebody and go, hey, look at this cool thing I made, like I said, with the Leap Motion thing and your Couchbase thing. If you show something to somebody, somebody's going to go, really? That's, how did you do that? And then all of a sudden, like, their mind just starts to explode and into all these different cool things that they could go build. And I think people are craving that. I'm not sure how else we can do it other than just the company I work for, we do hack weeks. And sometimes, like the Leap Motion thing I was telling you about, that's what I did for a hack week. And when I talked to my UX lady, I was like, hey, I'm going to do this thing, and you know how good I am at UI stuff, so I'm going to run them by you first. And she called me adorable and patted me on the head and said, good luck, let's see what you come up with. So once I started to put it all together, she was like, oh, what would this motion be? And like she did a clock, like, you know, in a circle. And I'm like, I don't know, increase the estimate? She goes, make that work. Let's see if this works. The icing on the cake was the diameter of the circle increased it by that much. So if you did a big circle, you got like 10. If you did a little one, you got one.
Completely impractical and
impractical
slower
as
than normal, right?
Well, kind of slow. If you wanted to throw things out of a release, you would use your fingers. So if you had four fingers up, kind of in a vertical, and you swiped them off to the right, like kind of like you're swatting at a fly, it would remove four things. The top four things it would remove. So sort of impractical, but it needed some work. It'd be really cool to like do a motion of 1-5 and then swipe, and then it would take 15 things. The idea of bridging that gap was amazingly just disruptive. We don't know what to do with this, but we love the idea.
And worst case, it gets some ideas going about, you know, more practical things. So it's interesting.
Right now, I'm looking at my screen, and I see a flat screen, and I see you on the Skype and other people and everything else. Well, what if I had to interact with that without the keyboard and mouse? How would I do that? You know, those are fun problems because now those answers don't exist.
Well, they're going to have to start existing soon with all the VR tech and things like that coming.
And I kind of hope that that becomes a thing, but I don't know if the farmer effect is going to be fixed with that. And that's what I worry about the most.
We're going to have to start wrapping things up here. We're getting a little long, unfortunately. We can talk more after the recording's over, or maybe come back for another episode. That would be great. But can you recommend any resources for people who want to... I mean, there's no books about the farmer effect because you just invented it. But any other resources you'd recommend people to check out?
A lot of books on psych. 0 to 1 talks about startups, but it also talks about the future of technology. I read that recently, and I think that has some application to it because it talks about merging the software world with the human world, that everybody thinks we can automate all these different things, which to some degree we can, but we still need a human. We still need a person to look at things and go, no, that's not quite right, and put that sort of interruption in there. Brain Rules, that one's a good one. I read that one not too long ago. And maybe a little bit on Daring Greatly, which is about shame and vulnerability and that sort of thing. But a lot of psych books. I mean, this isn't a software problem. This is a thought problem.
Okay. And you mentioned Mike Rowe. He has a podcast as well, which is really great. I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes too.
Yes. And I would love actually to talk to some of those people, and also Mike Rowe, to ask him about his experience on that, because he's seen all different shapes and sizes. So if by pure luck Mr. Rowe would hear this, just reach out to the guy who's completely useless and doesn't have any sort of say in the world. But I'd definitely love to hear his opinion on that sort of stuff and see if there's a bridge. Because I think his hard work stuff really applies to software as well. I think that both of those worlds could be married, and I think that's part of our gap.
Is there anything else you'd like to promote or plug before we wrap up the show? Any ways people can contact you?
You can contact me on Twitter, Gmail, jereilly@gmail, at Twitter. You can get a hold of me in tons of ways that way. I'm pretty recipient on those. I listen, I pay attention, I will respond. But yeah, that's really it. I mean, I got nothing to plug. I'm not selling anything. I'm just a guy with an idea that I'm trying to see if there's something to it. Who knows? Maybe I'll write a book. Maybe I'll be cool like you.
My guest today has been Jesse Reilly. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves 2016. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. The hosting for this podcast was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Skype, Audacity, and Camtasia Recorder. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy their music on Amazon or iTunes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com and submit your name and idea.
Let's see if this works. I'm like, let's see if this works.